No, I didn't, because it took so long to put it together, and so many people were involved, so much hard work, and it took a long time for to eventually get the IRA Army Council to call a total cessation of violence, and to get the loyalists to follow, the loyalist paramilitaries to follow it 6 weeks later. I know that most people thought it was impossible to even achieve it at the start, and even when it did come, most people thought it wouldn't last very long, but 18 months without violence and no step nearer to talks is what surprises me and surprises everybody else. And I think that's what has brought about the breakdown. But hopefully it can be put back together again.
So do you think if you were in power today that this situation wouldn't have happened?
Well, governments have to take their own decisions however they see fit to take them. It's, you know, we can all be the beneficiaries of hindsight. I'm not going to say yes or no to that, let other people be the judge. But I would say this, that I've said time and time again that this process was fragile and that it needed to be fed with political action. And by that I mean there should have been action on the prisoner situation in Britain for looking at their sentencing and reviewing it, and indeed to repatriate prisoners out of British jails back to Northern Ireland. That didn't happen. In fact, worse happened, because not alone were the same conditions applied, but they were even worsened after the ceasefire, which was not a good act of faith in the process and was not seen to be the right attitude to adopt. Then there was a whole question of the restructuring of the RUC, for example. That debate hasn't even started yet. There was a question of work on a Bill of Rights by the British government. That even hadn't started. And the two governments, instead of working together, seem to have be working in different directions. So all of that combines, and I think the straw that broke the camel back was the rejection of the Mitchell report and the British government's 100% support for a unionist agenda of elections with all party tax, maybe a couple of years further down the line. So all of that brought about, I think, lack of confidence and lack of trust in the whole process. And from the Republican leadership point of view, they saw it, not that I agree with the response, but they saw it as having kept their side of the bargain for 18 months, and there wasn't any progress or no sign of progress in relation to the issues I've just mentioned. And the way forward still has to be, and it's the only way to approach this situation, is there has to be a date for all party talks named. And I think if we had that today, we'd have a rapid restoration of the peace process and a total cessation of violence again.
Just to clear the air, there were suggestions have been made that there was a secret understanding between yourself and Gerry Adams. Was that there?
Nothing was secret. Everything was above board. Everything is there for people to see. There was never any question of people talking about guaranteeing that talks would start with an initial period. Everybody knew and understood what the position was. It was on statements on the public record by John Major and Patrick Mayhew and myself and others that the talks were supposed to start after 3 months, as John Major termed it then, decontamination period. That's what he said. And as soon as the framework document was completed, the framework document was completed. The 3 months were up in December. The framework document was completed in February, and there was no reason not to move to all-party talks after that. It didn't happen. There was no secret under-the-table deals, and I said that time and time again. Everybody was straight up with each other. And this new preconditions that were introduced by the British of decommissioning before you start the talks was never, ever part of the negotiations for the Downing Street Declaration, or indeed any other part of the talks process either.
Right, but what is the point in having talks when Sinn Féin IRA are looking for some impossible outcome? If they actually go back to talks, will they resort to the gun again if they don't get their own way?
It's not a question looking for impossible. Everybody will be looking for what they can get, but nobody can get all they want, and that's what talks and debate is all about.
Are the hard men of the IRA living in a time warp, or will they ever realise how truly isolated they are?
Well, that's a difficult one to answer, because I've never spoken to them, and I don't know who they are, except to say that, you know, I think the experience of what we learned over 25 years of violence teaches us one thing, and that is that they're immune to bad publicity, that they don't seem to take into consideration all the various concerns that all of us ordinary citizens have to do. So I don't know. No, I think in fairness now, and I, as I say, I'm trying to be objective in every sense. I think nobody expected them to deliver an 18-month ceasefire for a start. Nobody expected them ever to issue a statement of total cessation of violence. And as they would see it, they look at things different to you and I. They see things black and white, no grey, no in between. And the way they see it was an agreement for a total cessation of violence, and that violence was supposed to be replaced by talks and dialogue. Talks haven't started 18 months further on. No sign of them talking. And until there's a definite date for talks, I don't believe there'll be a resumption of the ceasefire. But I believe if there was a definite date for all party talks, I believe it could be restored fairly rapidly.
Should we get hung up on elections versus talks? Aren't they all part of the same process?
Well, it depends if elections was the issue, but other parties see that it's not the issue. And in all approaches to Northern Ireland, you have to be even-handed and fair-minded about your approach. The Nationalists and Sinn Féin see the elections as purely as a delaying tactic. The smaller unionist parties who are the spokespersons for the paramilitaries on the unionists on the Lila side, they see it as a danger to wiping them out altogether. Consequently, you have to take all the fears and concerns into place. But I think that if it was purely to get into all-party talks and that there was a definite date for all-party talks, maybe you can find a formula within the different proposals that are around for going forward. And this is what the governments have to do, because it is their responsibility to come up with a formula, having sounded out all the parties and making up their own minds and decisions as to how they're going to go forward.
So how can we get Sinn Féin IRA to compromise?
Everybody is going to have to give a little. Nobody can ever get out of any discussions everything that they want when they're going in. And I think a little bit of compromise on all sides could restore the process. And I think if the two governments put on enough pressure, if John Major puts on pressure on the unionists, they'll accept less. And I think if the Irish government let it be known that they're prepared to accept a bit less, I think we could have a formula for going forward.
So would there be a role in this for you?
Well, governments have to work to each other. I continue to work and help and advise any way I can behind the scenes. I've always done that. I've been doing it in the last week. But apart from that, it is a matter for two governments, and I'll help anywhere I can in the background.
Are you happy with the stance the Americans are taking, or are they being unduly influenced by the British and Irish governments?
No, the Americans will make their own decision. They will, as they always have done, they will listen to both governments to hear what they have to say, but they'll make their own decisions at the end of the day. I think that President Clinton, from the very first time that I got him interested and involved and supportive of the process in March 1992, he has been consistent in supporting it. He is still supporting it, despite the bombs that are there. He still wants to see a way to all-party talks being found. And I believe that's probably what Senator Mitchell is back in Dublin today and was in London yesterday about. And I would be surprised if between under the support and pressure from the Americans that a formula isn't found to get all-party talks going and get the cessation of violence restored.
Finally, did you find when you were Taoiseach that solving political problems was no different than running your own business?
Well, I think in business or in politics, you're there to solve problems. You're there to find a solution to problems and not to throw up your hands in despair. I mean, that's not going to move anybody forward. Or if you do that in business, your business will close. If you do it in politics, you won't be successful. So you have to try and understand where everybody's coming from, make a fair judgment, be fair and firm to both sides, but at the same time, to calculate the risks that are involved, political or personal, and if the end result is worth the risk, then the risk should be taken. And in this case, peace was the end result that we're all looking for. And there is no greater cause in any society than peace. I took risks for peace, and others took risks for peace, and I think the time has come now again to take risks to restore the peace.
Did you find a bias against a self-made businessman like yourself in the establishment?
Well, it's part of the Irish psyche is that we don't applaud success in this country. It's a throwback from when we were under colonial rule for so long or what, but we still have to grow out of that. Yes, there is a level of that existing, and I think it's not good for the country, and hopefully that the next generation will see it differently.